Truth and Reconciliation Commissions have become almost part of the cycle of war and peace. But though the phrase may be familiar across the world, from El Salvador to South Africa, Rwanda, Argentina, Chile, and Haiti, there are distinct differences between what such commissions have tried to do and the trace they leave on their nation's futures. Airing accounts of atrocities has not always led to healing. Identifying crimes has not always led to justice. Priscilla Hayner's new book seeks to learn from what is becoming a vast store of common experience in the truth commissions around the world. Ms. Hayner has been a consultant on truth commissions to the United Nations, Sierra Leone, and now Indonesia. Her book is Unspeakable Truths, Confronting Terror and Atrocity. Priscilla Hayner joins us from New York City. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
And let me—I was struck. You really almost begin this consideration with a question that a Rwandan government official asked you after 500,000 people had died there. Do you remember that question?
Yes. Well, in fact, I was sitting with him on a bus on the way to view a massacre site in Rwanda a year after the genocide took place there. He had been telling me that 17 members of his own family had died during the genocide. He, just by pure coincidence, had been out of the country, and he was not killed. But almost everybody in the country had a story similar to that. And he had said to me, with each day, we are able to forget more. And it was said with such a sense of relief that I asked him, do you want to forget or do you want to remember what took place? And he hesitated and said, we must remember in order to keep it from happening again. Mm-hmm. But it is only by forgetting that we were able to go on. And I think that that exchange points to the root of the difficulties around digging up the truth. One must remember, and in many ways one must remember in order to build institutions and healing and reconciliation in the future. But it's not an easy process. And in a sense, it's the most difficult process to remember exactly what did take place.
In your mind, what countries have had commissions that have particularly distinguish themselves, and I don't even mean so much in the quality of the work, so much as the effect they've had on their society. And we must recognize that we're talking about greatly different societies, too.
One can look at a place like South Africa, which, of course, has had one of the most prominent truth commissions to date. And the great effect there, I think more important than anything else, is over the 3 or so years of the commission's work, the public's understanding of the past fundamentally shifted. And there is a sense that very few people now in South Africa would be willing or able to deny the extent of torture and abuses that took place. In other countries, such as in Chile, the effect at the time was to, through the Truth Commission's work in the very early 1990s, was to implement a fairly strong reparations program for those families who had lost persons in the violence of the armed rule.
I was struck by a story you tell from South Africa about a man whose, I believe it was his wife and daughter, were blown up by a letter bomb.
And that's correct.
Yeah, if you could relate that to us.
When he was asked whether he was glad to have learned through the Truth Commission exactly what individual was responsible for sending the letter bomb to his family's home, he said, in fact, I would prefer not to know. I had become adjusted to hating the apartheid state and holding the state responsible for the death of my family members. But now that I have to come to terms with a specific individual who had done this to me, I'm not sure how I will cope with that fact. And in fact, I'm afraid that I may go out and shoot this individual. Yeah. There's a tension because certainly people want to know, but knowing is not necessarily easy either.
As someone whose expertise is often consulted, where are truth commissions in formation in the world today?
There are actually, in fact, today about half a dozen countries that are actively in the process of setting up a truth commission, ranging from Sierra Leone, East Timor, Peru, where a truth commission was created 4 weeks ago, in Ghana, piece of legislation before parliament, in Yugoslavia, and also in Bosnia-Herzegovina. In all of these places, and in others where it's being discussed more in the back burner, the countries have seen the possibilities of their transition as including the need to get to the truth of what took place. And it's remarkable how often now countries in transition turn to the possibility of a truth commission with a whole new level of impossibility for accountability, justice, acknowledgement, and ultimately reparations for victims of past violations.
And if truth commissions work, is the idea that in another generation from now, we won't need them because potential despots will see, well, I don't want to get hauled before a truth commission when this is over?
I don't know if truth commissions have the effect of a threat against those persons. However, it is very much hoped that by having a truth commission, one can learn from what took place in that society and create mechanisms and institutions and put reforms in place so that this same violence doesn't take place in the future.
Mm-hmm. And they have a record. It's not written on the wind. They have a history to which they can refer.
Exactly. A commission generally ends with a public report, and it becomes the founding document of the new society in many senses. And in some places, such as in Argentina, the Truth Commission report there, which was known as Nunca Más, or Never Again, is still on sale over 15 years later now in the streets next to your daily newspaper. And it is one of the most sold books ever in Argentina's history.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Priscilla Hayner, who is author of the new book, Unspeakable Truths, Confronting State Terror and Atrocity.